Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Howard Clark. Praise the Lord. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'd like to welcome you tonight to our show, to our broadcast. We are live. This is Monday, April the 3rd, 2017. We pray all is well with you and your family and in your homes, and we thank you for joining us. If you are logged in at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, you can call in and join the conversation, share your wisdom, share your inputs, and ask any questions by calling in at 646-668-2636. And just for all this, you know, this is your first time coming online with us. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m., doing live discussion on issues, Christian Men's Talk, issues that affect us as we as men lead in our homes, lead in the church, and lead in our families. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk about a couple of things here. We encourage you, we had a little technical difficulty, but we're going to continue on. I'm going to read from Scripture. We're going to open up with Scripture and prayer, and we're going to move forward with the broadcast. Amen. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, starting at verse number 8. Amen. And the Word of God says, "Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building, according to the grace of God, which was given to me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other's foundation can anyone lay than that which was laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any, then we have verse number 12. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defies the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you?" Father, we say thank you today, God. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you, God, that we are temples in the indwelling of your Holy Spirit, Lord God. We ask that, God, that you continue to guide us and teach us, O God. Father, we pray today, O God, that you, O God, would give us let us know what our purpose is for our lives, O God, through your word and through prayer and through speaking to our hearts, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Guide us and direct us. Help us to be the man of God you called us to be. Help us be the husbands you called us to be. Help us to be the fathers that you called us to be. Continue to bless us. Continue to watch over us, God. I pray for those on the phone line tonight, and those on the internet that are listening on the website, God, that their bloodline would be blessed, that your word, oh God, would take seed in their hearts, that the foundation they're building for their homes and for their family, oh God, will continue, oh God, to show fruit, prosperity. This is our prayer tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, amen. Well, we have a couple announcements. We're getting closer and closer to our Man Up event, our first Man Up event for 2017. It's going to be on Saturday, April the 22nd at 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's going to be held in the Pasadena, Maryland. at the 7825 Freetown Road. It's going to be at the Freetown Home Association Community Center. And the theme for this week from the Coalition of Ministries to Men is we have more in common than we are different. And we have but the participating churches for this gathering is Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship with Pastor George Sharps, New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders and Apostle L. Banks, Victory Christian Fellowship by Pastor Barnabas Arthur, Covenant Lifehouse Ministries, Pastor Joseph Powell, and Renovate Life Church and Pastor Donnie Hatcher. So our five men's groups are coming together, and we invite you to come out and join us. We're going to have a time of teaching, a time of fellowship. And again, we're going to do a lot of things, and we're going to be able to set you home with toolboxes and tools to help you be able to continue this walk, continue to grow in Christ, and continue to do some of the things and help you and help the men's ministries and in fellowship. Because if we come together, there's a lot we can do in our communities as churches, as men's groups, that we come together. Amen. So we encourage you to join us. If you go to Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page, you'll see the flyer there. You see a link. You can inbox us. We can get here's a registration of $20 that we're requesting. Also, we're going to have lunch served there. So we're working on that menu right now. But again, today is the 3rd, and we have the registration is going to be open until the 15th, I do believe. I'm looking at my calendar now. So it's going to be registration is going to be open until the 12th of May. Excuse me. I'm looking at the wrong month on the calendar. But I believe it's going to be the 10th of April, our registration will be open, so you can reach out to us and contact us about the registration. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight, I want to touch on a topic for tonight. It's going to be helping your spouse grow spiritually. Amen? So that's one of the topics we're going to talk about, because as men of God, as husbands, you know, God has called us to lead our wives, to love our wives. To love our wives as Christ loved the church, to sacrifice for them. And also, it speaks of washing our wives, washing them in the water of the word. Let me, real quick, I want to flip to the scripture here because I want to be accurate in what I'm saying. Because as men, we you know, spiritual growth of our families, let me say this in a broad sense. The spiritual growth of our family is our responsibility. Now, how we handle that, that doesn't necessarily mean we turn it over to the church, because again, our children, you know, our wives, our homes. How can we expect to be leaders in the church if we can't? If we're not spiritual leaders in our homes. And I know some brothers out there, I know what you're thinking. Your wife seems to be more spiritual. She might have came to church before you, came to faith before you, but that doesn't necessarily neglect your role to be the spiritual leader in your home. And to find out where that place is. And then again, we study to show ourselves approved. We're in prayer. We're the covering for our wives. I'm going to jump to the scripture real quick. I'm going to Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 26. Well, let me start at 25. Amen. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the word. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her, the washing of the word, the washing by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their wives, love their own wives, and their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. So that scripture, we talk about the responsibility of husbands and to wash it and to sanctify it. And this is where we have as men, as husbands, we have to be able to take that responsibility and that role, what God has called us to be. And that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you don't have to go to Bible college or go and get a degree, but you should be able to minister and pastor and teach in your own home. It's as simple as Bible study. You know, I was told a long time ago, you know, the way to start is on Sunday, the sermon that you listen to. You know, on the way home or after you get home, take time out and talk about the sermon. Talk about what was taught, what was said. You know, because you heard it one way, your wife heard it another way. and y'all come together for an understanding of what was being taught for that day, and that can be your jumping off point. Also, you can structure a time. The same thing with Bible study. You know, you go to Bible study and she goes. Again, another opportunity for y'all to come together, for you to see what your wife is learning and what she understood and what you understood, and you'll come together for a greater understanding, because you are one flesh and one understanding, and you should be of one mind of these things and understanding, because she might have heard something you didn't hear, or you may have heard something she didn't hear, and get a deeper understanding of what was being taught. And then we also say about praying together, praying for each other, and praying with each other. And I think that's one of the real things when we talk about the one flesh being one place spiritually. When we pray together on specific prayers about a family, about your marriage, about the situations you're going through, maybe finances, maybe employment, that you come together and you're united against those things, against those trials, against those tests, against those things the enemy's, and against some of the things the enemy's trying to put into your marriage to try and destroy it and break it up and destroy it. About communication, you know? You know, a lot of couples struggle with communicating or being able to communicate correctly and effectively. But if we take that time and pray first, you know, separately and together, that can help in the communication process. Because we only want to call. We know our heart. We know in our hearts. We know what each other is seeking about God. You know, and we're coming before God together to solve the issues of our marriage. And any man who's not praying for his wife, I encourage you. Today's the day. Start up your wife in prayer. Lift up every aspect of your marriage in prayer to God. And then and submit unto it. And be that man. Be the leader. Be the spiritual leader. Because again, let me say this about being a spiritual leader. And it's not what you say, it's what you do to lead. Because it's not leading is not giving instructions and setting out plans, but it's setting a vision. And then you're praying for God and the Holy Spirit to help you lead your wife, praying that your wife will come under your spiritual leadership. No matter where you are, if you're newlyweds, if you're newlyweds or you've been married a while and you're both coming to the faith, or one has come to the faith before the other, but you're also praying. Because personally, you know, this is my personal interjection here, that as Christians, as Christian husbands, Christian couples, Christian wives, there's nothing, there should be not anything that we cannot come together and reason and come to, that we see that we're coming together against whatever's attacking our marriage. And I say that broadly, and I say that specifically, all the way from children to finances to health issues to in-laws to whatever it is. When we talk about the one flesh, when we talk about cleaving and leaving, these are the words that we have to take and put into action when it comes to our marriages. You know, and we have to get to a place where we're reconciled. Because we, as the body of Christ, divorce is one of those things that, you know, that if we can't represent a union, how can we represent a union that we get our salvation? Because marriage is a representation of the gospel, it's a representation of the coming together, to sacrificial love, to coming under submission. There's so many things in marriage that represent what it means to be a Christian. And marriage is that example for people to see. And if our marriages are jacked up and broke up, then why would the world, why would anyone come? You know, if you're struggling in your marriage to the point where you're separating, divorce, so why would any other married couple think the church has no power? That being a Christian is no power. Our God doesn't have enough power to heal marriages. Because that's what they see. If they see Christians, you claim to be Christian, you're ministering, you want to reach out, you're trying to evangelize, and your home life is ridiculous, I'll use that word, then what kind of testimony are you putting out there? We all preach about, and we hear, and we're taught, and we're mentored, and we're discipled, and talk about our lives should be a living example, we should be living epistles. Let that start with our marriages. You know, because where is your marriage? Where is your relationship? And what are your children seeing? So now, because now we're dealing with generational, because if you have a messed up marriage, a struggling marriage that never seems to be working, you're always bickering with each other, what kind of marriage do you think your children will have? How will your son handle his wife? How will your daughters? What kind of wife will your daughter be? So it ripples through. because we're talking about our bloodline. We're talking about, you know, how the church is. You know, there's two ways the church is grow: through evangelism and through the Christian bloodline. What do our families see? What do our children see? What three generations of blessing? And it's not in the greatest gift we can give, legacy we can give our children is Christ, is salvation, is examples of Christian living. No matter what goes on in the culture, if they can look back to you, an example of Christian living, it'll resonate throughout the generations. Again, you know, because this is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we knew what all three of those men went through and the challenges they did, but they were faithful to God, and God kept them. But now, we have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, so what are we passing down? What are we sharing? What legacies are we setting up or putting in place for our children to see in the midst of their struggle? You know, we're in the church, and again, are we the church? Are we the example? Are we being examples for Christ, for those newlyweds, for those couples in our ministries that are struggling? Is your marriage an example of someone else's marriage to continue, to strive, to seek? Are we mentoring? Are we reaching out? Are we trying to help? Are we trying to, you know, are we praying for other marriages in our local churches? Marriages in your family, your in-laws, your you know, your children, your cousins, your nephews. We all have someone in our family that we know has a marriage that's struggling and needs God in it. Are we praying for them directly? Are we trying to minister and be an example as a body of Christ? Amen? Amen. So tonight I'm going to continue on. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. And tonight we're going to talk about helping your spouse grow spiritually. We're going to touch on a couple of different points here. For encouragement for husbands and wives that are listening, you know, it's just to be encouraged. It's not simple. Like, again, it is simple, but it also can be difficult. But we just want to open up your mind, open up your heart to receive and consider these things. And contain, again, prayer and being led by the Holy Spirit is going to be the thing. Because if we have Christ-centered marriage, where Christ is in the middle of our marriage, I believe we can come together and overcome any obstacle that comes up between our marriage. If the two of you are cleaved together, and everything that comes against you, you together take on that challenge, take on that test together, I believe you can overcome it through the power of God and through the power of your love for one another and commitment to one another. Because remember, biblical love is a sacrificial love. Biblical love is not a romantic love. It's a sacrificial love. So, again, I just say that you know who you are. I ask that you check yourself. See what you want. What do you really want? And as husbands, what is the vision for your marriage? No matter where it is right now today, today's the 3rd of April, no matter where you are today, where do you want your marriage to be in 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years? Do you have a long-term, short-term vision for your marriage? No matter what you may be going through today, do you have a vision to overcome that situation? Do you have a plan? Amen? Amen. So let me begin tonight. I'm going to share some information that I researched and looked up, and I just wanted to be able to share with you tonight to encourage you as husbands. The first thing is to be patient. Patience. It's one of those things. It doesn't really mean, you know, today I'm talking to Christian men, I'm talking to Christian couples, but even non-Christians. If you're listening today, if you saw it on Facebook and you wanted to listen in, even in your marriage, what are you doing? Are you patient with your spouse? Or do you overreact when he or she does something? Do you care more important about the things in life or your life together? Do you, as a Christian, do you remember that God loves you and loves your mate, and God has forgiven your mate if your mate is saved, or God is willing to save you and forgive your mate even if they're not saved? But do you have a mind that God has for forgiveness, for patience, to be patient with them? Because remember, marriage and life is a journey. There's going to be ups and downs. You're going to make mistakes. But if you don't have patience for your spouse, and what is your expectation for your wife, that patient with you when you go wrong, when you do wrong, or make a bad decision, or get off course? So So again, it's what are we reaping and sowing truly in our marriages? Is our relationship to the place where, okay, everything has to go right, be right, and they have to do right, and then I love them? Or am I patient with them? And as we go, as we do this life journey together, as we walk this thing out, that God and fulfill the purpose God had for our marriage, are we patient with each other to allow each other to grow? Again, this is helping your spouse to grow spiritually. So there's a growth process for all of us, no matter where we are. Do we have the expectation to be somewhere else down the road? Again, it goes back to what I learned a long time ago, Pastor Toe, you know, to be born again means growth, because anything that is born and does not grow and mature and reach milestones and show growth and productivity, there's a problem, and it needs to be helped on. You know, we think back to children. Children in school have milestones they should reach. And your pediatrician, for those of you who remember when your children were young, they were looking for development and growth milestones. Do we do that spiritually? Do we do that in our marriage? Because trust me, the man, woman you marry today or the woman you've been married to, she's not the same as the first year you were married. She wasn't the same last year, and she won't be the same in 5 years from now. But are y'all growing together, and are you helping in her spiritual growth to get her to get her to the place where God wants to use her and wants to use your marriage? And again, you have to be growing too as a husband. So what are you doing? You know, this is Christian Men's Talk. I just want to be able to call the husbands out, because what are you doing for your spiritual growth that you can lead your wife somewhere? You know, you have to be in a place where you're leading her in her spiritual growth, where you're helping her. You have to study to be able to understand, to be able to share with her an insight. Are you praying up? Are you being led by the Holy Spirit and what you're hearing from your pastors and his teachings? Are you getting what's being said and then being able to cover your wife with it and help her to understand what she may not understand? Amen? So patience. Patience is one of the things that God chooses to reach your spouse through you. For the unsaved, now I'm going to talk about the unsaved spouse. If you have an unsaved spouse, husband or wife, can God use you to reach them? You know, I had a pastor, one time he ministered to a wife who was saved in the church, and she was there every day when the door was open, and to find out the sister's been married, and she leaves her husband on Sunday and Tuesday and Thursday, and you know, that old thing, every time the door of the church is open, she's there, but she's leaving her husband at home. She's not ministering. So God could have saved you to save your spouse. And are you being that? Are you being that light, that salt and light in your own home? You know, so and he spoke into her life and told her that, you know, maybe you should just don't come on Sunday. Now, this is a pastor who said this, and this is what he told me. He shared with her because she was, you know, Holy Ghost filled and had knowledge and understanding of scriptures and all that, and was ready and was serving at home. Was she serving her husband? Was she fulfilling the role as a wife to her husband? And was she able, and is she able to reach her husband for Christ? And that doesn't mean, let me say this, that's not going home and telling your husband, for the wives that are listening out there, well, the pastor said, because that don't work with your husband, because he's your husband. You can't tell your husband what another man said he should or should not be doing. Or even if you try to share what was taught and you think you're teaching him, you know, that's not helping. That could be a barrier. That could be something that's hindering him. But again, we have to have patience, because again, you know, spiritual conflicts are often the worst for a spouse attempting to jumpstart his mate consciousness by playing the role of the Holy Spirit. You are not the Holy Spirit. We are not the Holy Spirit, and we shouldn't try to be. You know, I once brought up the issue of, you know, we want all these things for those in our family. But I say, but is that, would you minister to those folk the same way if they were strangers? Or do we somehow minister to our family members, our spouses, our children differently? And these are what I'm talking about when we consider how we speak, how we deal with folk, and how we handle folk. Because we'll treat a stranger a lot different than we may treat someone in our family. And so with the gospel, as even with, you know, how we serve, how we do things, even when we serve. seems like we have more patients who are strangers than we do for those in our own home. And that's where we have to check ourselves and see who we are and what we're doing. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8:30 p.m. And you called in at 646-668-2636. And you want to join the conversation, press 1 on your keypad, and we can bring you into the conversation and share your insights with us. The next one we're going to talk about is don't stand in the way. Wow. Well, we're talking about helping your spouse grow spiritually. And that we need to be able to speak into our wives' lives and speak into our spouses' lives. So when we talk about perfection, we talk about behavior, how our behaviors retract or repel our spouse when it comes to spiritual growth. Again, I touched on this a little bit before about having patience. Are we living out what we're experiencing for God? And is it appealing? Is a relationship with Christ making you more enjoyable person to live with, or just a religious person? And that's what we have to be able to say. How are we living out this thing? Are we a hindrance from our spouse's growth, or are we a hindrance to our spouse's salvation? How are we living it? Now, for my Christian couples out there, how are you living? Look at your, be honest. First of all, let's be honest and be transparent. How is your relationship truly? Are you just putting up with each other? Are you just tolerating each other and show up every Sunday dressed up nice and pretty and matching colors and coordinating outfits and praise the Lord and sit next to each other or don't even sit next to each other? Are we really living a life that's pleasing to God in our marriages? And for the ones whose spouse may not be saved or at a place, are we hindering them? Are we being very religious at home? Are we being superficial and this is hindering their growth? We're being super spiritual. You know, we can't even pray together because you're so deep that you can't even pray with your spouse. You have so much knowledge and understanding of Scripture that you study, you know, they have the same kind of educational, spiritual, knowledgeable level. Like, you know, you memorized the whole book of Matthew, the whole gospel of Matthew, and your spouse is struggling with, you know, Romans 9 and 10. You know, they know one Scripture, you know 25 Scriptures by memory that you can recite at a drop of a hat. But are you a hindrance to them? Are you encouraging them? Are you bringing them up? Are you putting those things in place? Are you serving in the church and teaching Bible studies and youth groups and all these other things, but you don't spend time in the spiritual growth of your family or of your spouse? And are you standing in the way? Your mate can benefit from your companionship when they're serious about their devotion time with Christ and realistic about your struggles. Can you mentor together and work together to be able to come together in the things of Christ to help each other grow spiritually? Okay? It's like anything else. You know, if you're both working, you know, you're good at one thing, and you know, you whatever your profession is, whatever your spouse's profession is. You know, you're bringing something to the table. But when it comes to spiritual things, are we helping each other? Are you really helping each other and working out that ministry? Because there's no better thing. I say this. There's no greater thing than being able to, as I see a husband and wife serving in ministry. And when I say serving in ministry, I don't mean titles. I don't mean deacon and deaconess. I don't mean elders and elders' wives. And it's about your relationship. Are you on accord? Are you supportive of your husband's vision? If your husband has a vision, he doesn't necessarily be a pastor, deacon, or whatever, but he has a spiritual vision where he wants to serve. Are you supportive of that thing? Or are you waiting for somebody, you know, you run to the church and do everything for the church, but your husband may have a vision or something, and you don't support that, or your spouse. I like to say husbands, but either way, is your wife part of doing something in the church, and are you supportive of what she's doing? And are you helping her? You know, we have a lot of women serving, but where are their husbands, and what are their husbands doing to support what they're doing? Actually hands-on, not just, you know, you know, superficial. I just use the word superficial here. But are you supporting your spouse in the things they're doing in ministry? And again, I don't want to touch on leaders and titles. I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about the rank and file, the lay leaders, the ones who serve, who are doing the things behind the scenes without recognition. Are you supporting each other in ministry? Are you standing in the way for their growth? Amen. The next one we're going to touch on tonight is going to be being authentic. And that means, you know, if your spouse is struggling, can your spouse, if they're struggling in their faith, if they're having an issue with their belief, if they're having an issue understanding, if they're struggling in their personal lives, are you their first resource? Are you the first person they're going to come to for prayer, for, you know, counsel? I just leave that right there. Are you that person? Are you in a spiritual place where your relationship with your wife and your spouse is a place where they can come to you with the issues they're dealing with, whatever they're struggling with their faith? You know, as again, and are we in that place? Or are we, or do they have to? Let me say this. I understand clearly the roles of pastors and churches. I understand that really what it means to be a part of the body of Christ and be a family and be in unity. But as a couple, I go back to one flesh. I go back to leave and cleave. Are you and your spouse on one accord, even if they're struggling and you have to reach out for help? Do you go together as a couple to the pastor? Or do you, or your wife let you know, well, you know, I'm going to talk to the woman's leader or the first lady or someone about what she's struggling with? Or do you know she's struggling with and she's in fellowship with a more mature woman, and you know who that woman is, and you understand, you're discerning that this woman could lead? Again, you know, as couples, are we mentoring? Are we discipling? Who is discipling your wife? You know, as a Christian woman, is she hanging around other Christian women, Christian wives? I won't say Christian women, because if you're married, your wife should be hanging around other married Christian women to be able to glean off of. She's not going to glean anything from a single woman. I just throw that out there, plain and simple. You know, because a single woman sees life totally different, even a single mother sees life totally different because they don't have a husband in their lives. Again, I go back to what the scripture says about leaving and cleaving. A woman who doesn't have a husband that she's left and cleaved with and committed to and is sacrificially, and it shows love sacrificially toward, should not be, cannot, and can't say anything to your wife to help her through her struggles. Amen? But these are the conversations we need to have. These are the conversations we need to deal with as a spouse. And if not, and you know, there's many, many marriage ministries and times of fellowship and times of edification and teachings that we have to get to that place. I shared before, I'll share it again. In my marriage, we've been married over 30 years, but we still attend marriage things to help edify, help to grow, help to, you know, to keep us abreast and keep us fresh and in things that we're doing about God and being able to hear something in a different way, hear some teachings, get some teachings, to tune up your marriage. Your marriage has to be tuned up like anything else. You need to have those tools in place. You need to have those weapons in place so when the trials come, when the enemy comes. So to have all those Christ-centered marriage, you have to prepare for the struggle. You don't wait till the struggle or the battle comes to prepare for it. You have things in place in your marriage that when the time of testing or challenges comes, you know what to do and how to handle it. And again, this is what we talk about being authentic. You know, sharing your faith. You know, we go with the unsaved spouse and how we share our faith. I mean, no one knows, I believe that being a married couple, no one knows you better than them. And they're going to see the growth in you or lack of growth in you first before anything else. And again, when we talk about spouses struggling spiritually, who's in their life, what's going on as husbands? Again, husbands and wives. Are we holding each other accountable for the men, for the other people in our spouse's life? Do we recognize weak? Do we recognize people? Do we discern folk who's not doing any good for our wife, our husband? You know, we know who our husband is, and we say, hey, have you talked to this brother lately? Have you seen this one lately? Or, you know, you haven't talked to this couple lately, a couple in church, a young couple that you know. Have you reached out to them and say, hey, well, how you doing? What's going on? And, again, well, you know, my thing, again, is all this isn't happening on Sunday. It's six other days in the week. If you're truly in fellowship with someone, truly caring about someone, there's you won't. Sunday won't be the first time you've seen them in 6 days. That's my whole thing. If you haven't talked to that person, it takes 6 days. You only see a person once every 6 days. So you're telling me you're only in fellowship with them 52 times out of the year, 365 days. So you only talk to them 52 times a year, 52 days out of the year, and you call yourself in fellowship. I hate to say it, but I do believe you are being deceived. Amen. You're not in real fellowship with folk. You're not reaching out. You're not showing yourself friendly. You're not doing any of the things that I know pastors have taught and preached and tried to instill in folk. But you say, but you only you and you also I will tell you, I'll touch on this, but it's only the same couples. People have come and gone in your church. You have new folk in your church, and you don't even know who they are. You haven't reached out to them. You haven't got their phone numbers. Facebook, an email, the Twitter, whatever, however you want to do it, wherever your technical level is. Sometimes simple as having their phone number and calling them and checking in on them. It's all some folk need is for encouragement and for couples. Amen? Amen. So far tonight, I'm here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, your host tonight, and sharing some insights. We talked about being patient. We talked about don't stand in the way that God is using you. Are you living a life that you draw your unsaved spouse in? Are you living a life that are you encouraging or hindering their spiritual growth? What are you doing? How is your relationship? How do you handle it? And also the third one is being authentic. Are we being authentic and honest with us? So can our spouse come to us with their greatest problems, with their problems, with their spiritual struggles? And are you their first resort, or do they have to go to someone else and then come to you secondly because they have to figure out how to tell you or how to talk to you? Again, where is your relationship? And as husbands, again I say, are we covering our wives? Are we sacrificing ourselves as Christ sacrificed for the church? And love, true biblical love, is a sacrificial love. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to move on. We have about two more here for tonight. We just want to touch on, again, I just want to sow these seeds and plant these seeds in your spirit. And hopefully you can examine yourselves, reason together, consider your ways, think about what you're doing, think about your marriage, think about what's the vision, where do you want to go? And again, this applies to all aspects of marriage, because marriage is more than the romantic side. It's the life side. How are we dealing in life? What are we doing to you know, overcome our finances, to get our finances together? You may not have issues in your finances, but what's your long-term financial plan now? And does each of you know it? You know, is there a plan long-term? What needs to happen? And if you're struggling in your finances, are you on one accord with it? Husbands, are you hearing what your wife is saying? Wives, are you hearing what your husband is saying when it comes to finances? How are you going to get yourself out of debt? How are you going to minimize your debt? How do you come to agreement on purchasing and the spending of money? If you want to, you know, get your credit score up, if that's an accomplishment, how are you going to do that together? You know, I know some couples, the husband has a good one, the wife has a bad one. The wife has a good one, the husband has a bad credit score. But what are you doing together so both of your credit scores can be better? What's the strategy? What's the plan? You may have done some things to get your credit score up. Now, what are you willing to do to help your spouse? And for spouses, your credit score is bad. Do you automatically get offenses because you don't want to deal with it? Are you willing to listen to your spouse to help you cook together, overcome that thing? Because that can be a great challenge when it comes to finances and credit score. Some people take it way too serious, if you ask me, but that's fine. I mean, but sometimes you just, but then it comes a certain time in your life when God prospers you and you're in a place where now you can take on this challenge and just not ignore it. Because, again, this can be a sensitive and it could be a very sensitive and touchy issue in marriage. But through God, If your marriage is Christ-centered, and I believe if you pray, and I believe if you seek God, and you seek wisdom, and you seek discernment, and you seek on how to broach the subject, or how to come to it, I mean, it takes two. First, it takes someone to submit and understand this issue you need to change. And now, are you willing to submit and listen to the advice that's coming from your spouse? Or you can listen to everybody else but your spouse. I'll just put that out there like that. You know, and if your spouse comes to you in a plan, are you willing to work together? Again, I go back to Scripture. I'm going to stay on the Scripture where it says one flesh, leave and cleave. It's you and your spouse and it's everybody else. And if you are together on one accord, you're Christ-centered, both of you are Christ-centered, then you can overcome all things. Because the trial and our test and life should draw us together. And nothing should go on in your marriage that should become a wedge between you, but the pressure should squeeze you both and have them be Christ-centered. So you each grow closer to Christ and to each other, and then you take on the issue that's ahead of you. That's just my advice. Amen. Well, the next point we're going to talk about tonight is about staying balanced. Staying balanced. As spiritually, as in health, as in what we eat, there's a balance to everything. You can't overdo it anything. There's always too much. When you do too much, there's consequences for doing too much. And balance. And when we talk about work, we talk about ministry, we talk about how we spend our time. You know, are we in a place, you know, what are we doing? Every problem comes up in our marriage, you run to someone in the church. You run to a leader for every little thing in your marriage. You're running to a leader instead of to each other. I'll let that one just meditate right there. There's no doubt about the importance of faith, but it is possible to lose a healthy perspective, especially when you feel your mate's Christian commitment is stagnant, is stale. Even though you believe you can trust God with your spouse's spiritual development, you may try to take matters into your own hands. Again, it's all you praying together. Are you dreaming of just your spouse's Holy Spirit? Is it a balance? You can't be too devoted to Christ, nor can you minimize your faith to accommodate your spouse. But you can't, you know, like I shared earlier about the pastor who told the sister, you know, stay home on Sundays with your husband and minister to him right where he is. You know, because you come to church, you complain your husband's unsaved, your husband's this and husband's that, because you're in the church 4 days out of seven in everything, in every committee. But are you, you know, what are you doing at home? Are you ministering at home? So there's a balance there. And now I'm going to go into the secular realm. Are we working? Are we workaholics? Do we work to just not so we don't have to deal with our spouses? Are we doing 70 or 60 hours a week so we don't have to come home? We leave before they get up. We leave and we end when they're ready to go to bed. So we don't really have to conversate. We're not really doing something. We set something up. We might go on vacation twice a year, but during the rest of the time, you don't see each other during the week. Your rendezvous at church, or ride two cars to church. You can't even get up on Sunday morning, come to one accord to ride in one car. So it's balanced to me. I'm just sharing my insights. I'm sharing the things I've witnessed, I've seen, and I'm also giving some wisdom from, you know, other couples that I've seen, that the things they had to change and fix in their marriage to get their marriage to the place where God wants it, and that made them more happier. Because you'd be surprised when you make those changes, your marriage will start to take on a different characteristic. There'll be a different atmosphere in the home. It'll change. You think, because, again, we get stuck in a rut. We get stuck in our pattern, and we think nothing's really wrong until we try to change something, and then it just moves the whole foundation. So we're looking today to try to maybe shift the foundations of our marriage and be more Christ-centered, be more each other-centered, be more sacrificial in our love. Amen. We were just talking about our spouses and being patient and being and showing the grace of God. You know, there's a balance in grace. There's a balance with, you know, whatever you're dealing with. If your spouse is doing some things and it's hard. I'm not gonna say forgiveness comes, but also there should be a place of balance. And then, and really, in forgiveness, it's really dealing with the issue. It's more than just forgiving, but what are we doing to be proactive in the things that we're doing in our marriage to help our marriage get better, or to help our spouse in a spiritual growth? Are we being proactive? We're praying, but what are we doing to be proactive? And what are we seeking to be in that thing? And are we just trying to be hyper-religious, being over-spiritual? And sometimes that can also try and hinder, you know. I've heard testimonies and a lot of super spiritual stuff when we're dealing with our spouses, where to me personally, it sounds like a lot of manipulation, because you can browbeat your spouse into behaviors, but that doesn't mean they have a heart change. I'll let that go. I'll let that sink in. Because if the longer you marry, you know that you can browbeat your spouse into doing something, but they don't really have a heart change. They're just tired of hearing you complain. They're tired of hearing you coming at them, attacking them, chastising them. It's as simple as that. So they let you get away with it, they accommodate you, and they just keep it moving. But is that, have you really made a heart in your mind? Have you really made a heart change? Is there a heart committed to it, or are they just tired of hearing you complain? They're tired of whatever. You can manipulate. You can make it all spiritual. Every time you pray, you call out your spouse's name about this and about that. You're doing things. You're doing some things, you know. You're doing a lot of things that are sounding a whole lot spiritual. But how does your spouse see these things you're doing? We talk about oil and anointing the house and anointing your spouse. But, you know, really? Have you just browbeat them and use condemnation and being super spiritual to get them to behave a certain way? Because remember, if we remember, we can teach animals and dogs to do tricks and give them a reward, but we haven't changed them from being a dog. They're still a dog. Just because we got them to do a trick doesn't mean we change their nature, and they change their heart and their passion and why they do it. So let me just share that. When we talk about balance, the things we're doing, are we minimizing, you know, who they are in their faith? Are we not taking time to really know where they are? Because faith comes by hearing, and faith comes by understanding, and faith comes by knowing who Christ is. And if we don't ever have that, or we just train them to behave a certain way, but we're not really concerned about their understanding and their souls, their real souls and their hearts. Are their hearts given, fully committed? Because, again, they can fully commit. You know, are they fully committed to your marriage, or are they just putting up with you? Because it just costs too much to leave, and they're just putting up with you, and they just, but are you helping them in their spiritual growth? Do you know where they are? Do you know the areas they need help? I'm just going to put that out there to the brothers, to the husbands, to the wives. How do we see our spouses, and how are we going to help this grow spiritually? Amen. Well, I'm going to close. We're going to come up to our close here real quick. Time tonight, but I just wanted to share, we're talking about helping our spouse grow spiritually. This has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. You can always reach us at Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page. We have a Twitter account now. You can tweet us. You can follow us on Twitter by going to Issues Men's Talk at Twitter, at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. Also, or you can always go on our Facebook page. You see the updated links there for upcoming men's events, upcoming men's conferences, upcoming anything. We have devotionals we put on the Facebook page. We have a lot of things going on. That's where you can reach us. You can inbox us. And also, we always have an open invitation for you to come and join us, share your insights on our given topics. We post our topics. If you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, you can hit the follow button. You get an update when we upload new programs or we are live. You get an update, let you know we're on the air. Because in the month of April, we're going to be talking a lot about encouraging husbands, strengthening marriages. And we're going to do a couple of special Saturday broadcasts. Amen. So also tonight, I just wanted to reach out and talk to you and remind you, the Coalition of Men's Ministry is having their first Man Up event on Saturday, April the 22nd, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's going to be held in Pasadena, Maryland, with doors open at 9:30, requesting a registration and donation of $20. If you go on our Facebook page, you'll see the link there and get in contact with us. It's going to be held at 7825 Freetown Road in Pasadena, Maryland. You can reach out on us again at Facebook. You can email us also by going to rejoicetv@gmail.com. You can send me a message on Facebook. You can post on Facebook, and we'll get you some information for that. Also, I do believe we're coming up on the third Saturday of April, which I believe is going to be the 15th. We have Jesus Lives Family Ministries. It's holding their monthly men's fellowship. And I believe we're talking about From Player to Prayer. And that's going to be on Saturday, the 15th of April. That event is our free monthly gathering. So we encourage you to come out and join us for that. You can see also on Facebook about the address and contact information for that. So again, continue. I just want to encourage the husbands today, continue to seek God, for your wife, to seek God for your marriages, seek God for yourself to strengthen you so that you can be the husband and the father that God has called you to be. Continue to pray. I pray that you pray for us and pray for our broadcast. And we invite you to join us again on Mondays and Thursdays, Mondays at 8 p.m., Thursdays at 8:30 p.m., and continue to pray for us. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.
Hello, Jesus children, Jesus loves you, Jesus children. Hello, children, Jesus loves you, love America. Are you hearing what he's saying? Are you feeling what you're praying? Are you healing, praying, feeling what you say inside? You'd better tell your story fast. And if you like it, it will come to